party.
Dick Van Dyke, she was 23 years old when that series started. Did you two click right away, or did the chemistry take some time?
It kind of surprised me. She had a kind of a mid-Atlantic accent, kind of a Katharine Hepburn. And I thought, God, she's beautiful, but do you think she can do comedy? And it was amazing how quickly she picked it up from Maury and Rosie. All had such good timing. In no time, she had us laughing. I had the chance to watch her grow from 23 to who she became on that show. She was the best there ever was.
I know you said that we changed each other's lives for the better. How did she change your life?
As I said, I didn't know I could sing and dance. She knew that she could. The chemistry that happened between us was just serendipity. We became an improv group. We could almost read each other's minds. As Maury Amsterdam said, like going to a party every morning.
Did she appreciate the symbol and the role that came to her, the role model that came to her because of the Mary Tyler Moore Show?
Oh, I'm sure. She felt that responsibility, but she knew that she was an inspiration to a lot of young women. That show was a, thank God she fell into the hands of the people she did, because they knew what to do with her.
Think about this, Dick Van Dyke. She was in two series in two different decades, two groundbreaking roles both times. How do you think she was able to do that and pull that off so well from what you know about her?
Well, it has always been my feeling that the Van Dyke Show was a really kind of a training ground for what was to happen later. Mm-hmm. She learned comedy timing, and she learned, by the time she hit that show, she knew what she was doing. And she always had a talent as an actress.
Thank you, Dick Van Dyke, for taking the time. We really appreciate it. It's great to see you.
Our thanks to Charlie Rose and the CBS This Morning Show for sharing some memories about today's featured star, Mary Tyler Moore, who passed away on January 25th of this year at the age of 80. Just as a side note, we were already planning on writing a brand new script for the Mary Tyler Moore Show. With Mary starring as Mary Richards and working in the newsroom at WJM in Minneapolis long before the passing of Mary Tyler Moore. So for today, we will be featuring original scripts written by Mike Alstrup and Steve Brown of the Dick Van Dyke Show, which also starred Mary, and of course we'll take you into the newsroom of the fictitious WJM-TV, where Mary, Lou Grant, Murray Slaughter, Ted Baxter, and Sue Ann Nivens are always up to something unusual, and yes, funny. And then we'll visit Mary at her third-floor studio apartment on the north side of Minneapolis, where we'll also meet Rhoda Morgenstern and Phyllis Lindstrom. As always, support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha Law Firm of Aaliyah, Dumais, and McTernan, and also the not-for-profit Brown Alstrup Performing Arts Foundation, located in the village of Salem Lakes. It can be found on the internet at brownalstrupfoundation.org. Today's tribute to Mary Tyler Moore is directed by Janelle Powers. Hearing that manual typewriter means it's time for the Dick Van Dyke Show, and we're about ready to enter the office of the scriptwriters for the Alan Brady Show, where Rob Petrie, Sally Rogers, and Buddy Sorrell are busy writing this week's script for the always hard-to-please Alan Brady, and of course, Alan's brother-in-law and show's balding producer, Mel Cooley.
And Alan says, good night, folks, and remember, if you ever find yourself in hot water, take a bath.
Good, I like it.
Good.
Oh, wait a minute.
What?
We can't do it.
Why?
Did it last week.
Oh, yeah. That's where I heard it.
Rob, you're awful quiet over there on the couch.
Buddy, you'd be quiet over there if you felt the way I do.
Rob, I haven't heard you be so quiet since you and Alan had that big blow-up last season, when he hated that closing monologue we wrote for him.
Yeah, I remember that. It was all about Alan going into an Italian restaurant and ordering a plate of spaghetti and refusing to have a marinara sauce on it.
I still think it was a funny bit to end the show with, especially when Alan was more worried about getting sauce on the only clean white shirt he had left. And he had to...
Alan had a what?
He had to... Achoo! 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 Oh, Not Alan. I had to sneeze.
It sounded more like you had triplets.
That's funny. Sally, I better write that one down. Maybe we could use it for a future show.
Okay. Let's get back to work. Although, I need some Kleenex. It's a little messy here on my typewriter.
Speaking of things getting a tad messy, hello there, Mel.
Buddy, I'm not even going to ask you what that crack was all about.
Morning, Mel. So what can our award-winning writing team do for our most beloved show's producer this morning?
Alan wanted me to check in on the three of you to see if you had a closing monologue ready to go yet.
Please tell Alan. We'll have the closing monologue done by lunchtime.
Sally, is Rob telling me the truth, or is he just pulling my leg?
Sally, you better be careful how you answer that question.
Why is that, buddy?
You should know, the last time somebody pulled Mel's leg, a whole bunch of quarters fell out.
Rob, you know I don't have to take such disrespect here. I get enough of that at home and even from Alan.
I'm sorry, Mel.
Rob, you sound terrible.
Mel, you...
Buddy, I'll take over from here.
Thanks, Rob. Just in the nick of time.
As I was saying, Mel, we'll have the closing monologue done by tomorrow around lunchtime.
Rob, I do believe you said by lunchtime today.
Mel, Rob's not thinking too clearly right now. He's got a bad cold coming on.
Rob, you do sound awful. Maybe you should take the rest of the day off and come back fresh in the morning.
Rob, I agree. Sally and I can work on the rest of the show, and then we can all dig in and get that closing monologue cranked out tomorrow.
Rob, for once, I agree with Buddy.
Okay. You all win. I'll give Laura a call from downstairs. Then I'll get in my car and head home to New Rochelle.
Drive safely, Rob.
Thanks, Mel.
You know, all this sneezing and wheezing reminds me of a good joke.
Oh, must we?
You know how to keep a head cold from going down in your chest?
No.
Tie a knot in your neck.
Ugh. Richie, Daddy's going to be home soon. And do you remember what I told you?
Yeah, I remember.
Well, young man, tell me what I told you.
You told me not to forget it.
I know. So tell me, sweetie.
I forgot.
Richie, that's okay.
Tell me again, Mommy.
Richie, here's what I told you. This morning at breakfast, Daddy is getting a cold. So when he comes home, try not to make too much noise, because you know how Daddy gets when he doesn't feel well.
Yeah, I know. He gets all crabby, just like Crabby Appleton on that TV show. Isn't that right, Mommy?
Well, Richie, I'm not sure I put it that way, but Crabby Appleton, who is on Captain Kangaroo in those Tom Terrific cartoons, can be awfully mean. And
not my daddy. He's a very good daddy. He would never be mean like that.
I know, Richie, but if I remember correctly, Crabby Appleton always says, "My name is Crabby Appleton. I'm rotten to the core. I do a bad deed every day, and sometimes three or four. I can't stand fun for anyone. I think good deeds are sappy. I laugh with glee. It pleases me when everyone's unhappy."
Mommy, Daddy's never like that. He always makes people laugh, except for Mr. Brady. Isn't that what you always tell me?
Why, of course, Richie. Your daddy is the nicest and sweetest man I have ever known. And young man, he loves you very, very much. And he does make Alan Brady laugh sometimes.
Yeah, but will he still love me when I tell him about what all of my friends have been talking about when we're out on the playground?
What do you mean, Richie?
Well, we've been talking about the birds.
The birds? Now, why would Daddy be upset about that?
Well, it's not just the birds.
What do you mean, Richie? I'm getting confused.
We also throw the bees into the mix.
Are you studying animals in school?
Nope. We're still working on our arithmetic and spelling.
Well, Richie, I see nothing that strange about you talking about bees and the birds.
That's what I thought, Mommy. But I think I just heard Daddy's car pulling up in the driveway. So maybe we should wait to talk about the birds and the bees.
Oh, the birds and the bees? I think I'm beginning to get the picture here. Sweetie, why don't you go and play in your room so I can speak with Daddy?
Okay, Mommy.
Laura, I'm home.
Hi, Rob. I didn't expect you home this early. Are you feeling okay?
Well, my sneezing was getting worse, so I decided to come home early.
Oh, Rob, I'm sorry you aren't feeling well. I'm glad you're home, though. I'm a little worried.
What's wrong?
Well, it seems that Richie has been giving lectures to the other children.
What kind of lectures?
On the facts of life, the birds and the bees.
How do you know?
Well, he told me.
Maybe I should have a little chat with him. And then I'll go rest a while before dinner.
Okay, Rob. That sounds like a good idea.
Richie, Daddy would like to have a chat with you.
Uh-oh. Am I in trouble?
No, son. It's just that there's a little confusion about what you're telling the kids at school. I'd like to clear it up if I can.
Oh, you mean about the babies and all that stuff?
Yeah, that. That's right, son.
But I didn't tell them what you told me not to tell.
Well, who told you what to tell them?
Nobody. I made it up.
You made it up?
Yeah. Grandpa's story about Mr. Cabbage was silly.
Well, right, right.
And your story about the eggs and everything made a lot of sense.
Well, of course it did. It was just a simple way of explaining things to you when you asked me about it.
But you said I shouldn't tell that story to anybody.
Right again.
So I had to make one up.
Well, why, Rich? Why did you have to make up any story?
Because the kids like me to tell stories, and I'm good at it. Just like you, Daddy.
How do you like that? My kid's becoming a writer. Just like me.
Just like you, Daddy.
Sally, what should our ending monologue be for Alan for our show this week?
Buddy, I was thinking about Walter Cronkite and his newscast.
What about it?
Well, I was thinking, what if we had Alan getting ready to read the news for his own newscast?
Wait a minute. Just a darn minute. You mean Alan is going to be a newscaster for the network news?
Well, maybe not for the network news, but maybe for a local TV station somewhere in the Midwest. And, you know,
he's not very good at it. In fact, he's always making a bunch of dumb mistakes. Alan is always making mistakes on the air.
I love it. Alan says, "Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's newscast. We start tonight with this news bulletin. It's very important. I mean, really important. But unfortunately, I can't tell you anything about what just happened because Lenny, our stage manager, is standing in front of my teleprompter. Hey, Lenny, move just a little to your right, if you don't mind."
Bob, I'm glad to see you are feeling better. Leaving the writer's office in the hands of Buddy and Sally without you can be a bit scary.
Come on, Baldy, it wasn't that bad. We did come up with a closing monologue for Alan, you know.
Yeah, I know. And Alan actually liked it.
He did?
He really did, Sally. In fact, Alan called me at home last night to tell me it was really good.
Hey, you see, Mel? Sally and I do know what we're doing.
In fact, he thought it might even be good enough for an idea for a future TV show about a newsroom in some Midwest city.
Really? Wow. That's amazing.
I don't know. It seems like a far-fetched idea to me.
Mel, you never know. You never know what might become a hit TV show nowadays.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Dick Van Dyke Show. From New York City and New Rochelle, New York, we now transport you to Minneapolis for the Mary Tyler Moore Show, where we find Mary Richards already busy at work in the WJM newsroom and Murray Slaughter, the lead writer, busily typing away when Lou Grant, the news director, enters the newsroom and says...
Where's Ted?
I'm not sure, Mr. Grant. He must still be out to lunch.
He's always out to lunch.
Mary, I knew Lou would say that.
Murray, you know me. I never disappoint. Anyway, this is an important day. We have this special auction taking place in the city, which means a long day and night for all of us.
Mr. Grant, do you want me to go out and try and find Lou?
Nope. Then two of you might be missing.
Hello, people.
Hi, Sue Ann.
Hi, Mary. Mary, I want you to close your eyes. Now, no arguments. Close them.
It's all right, Sue Ann. She's seen you without makeup before.
Oh, Murray, I just hope my mind's still active when I'm your age. Come on, Mary, close them.
If I must. Okay.
Now you can open your eyes.
Oh, my.
Well, what do you think?
Oh, my is right. It's a life-size figure of Mary, made of food, lots of food, all kinds of food.
Is it all right if I close them again? I can't believe what I'm seeing right now.
Well, it's a life-size figure of Mary, showing the four basic food groups. I used it for a special I did last week called What's All This Fuss About Famine? And I thought it would be just the right thing to brighten up your apartment.
Oh, Sue Ann, you shouldn't have. Of course, I'll have to check my lease. I mean, just to make sure there isn't any regulation against, you know, life-size food figures.
Oh, I think it would go beautifully in your kitchen, don't you?
Well, I think the kitchen might be a little too small for it.
Well, I'm sure you'll find the perfect place for it. Oh, in fact, I know. Why don't you put it in your bedroom? I'm sure you must need something in there to relieve the tedium. Bye now.
Murray, what did she mean by that?
I'm not sure, but...
Hi, guys.
Oh, hi, Ted. Lou's been looking for you.
Hi, Murray. Hi, Mary.
Georgette, it's great seeing you again. How have you been?
I've been good. I've been staying at home a little bit more than usual. My cat Joey just had kittens.
Joey?
Well, it's short for Josephine. I sort of like the name Joey, so that's why I call her Joey. It just fits better, you know?
Of course, Georgette. We understand.
Almost like how my dad wanted a son, and he was going to name his son George. But instead, here I came, and I'm Georgette.
That does happen a lot, you know.
I know. I've had to live with that for my whole life. So I do understand.
Georgette, I'd better get to work so I can be ready for the 6 o'clock newscast.
I know, Ted. You were practicing your opening in the car just a short time ago.
That's okay, Georgette. There's no need to go into details about that.
No, Georgette. Please tell us more.
Georgette!
Maybe I better not.
That's okay, Georgette. We hear his opening every night anyways, so that's fine.
Oh, Ted, I forgot. Here's your late afternoon snack. It's in this bag for you.
Thanks, sweetie pie.
I'll see you later, Ted.
Bye, Georgette.
Bye-bye, Georgette.
Baxter, there you are.
Oh, hi there, Lou.
Ted, as you know, this is an important news day for us.
Lou, of course I know that.
Besides the regular news coverage we always do, we have this special mayoral election taking place.
We do? I mean, yes, we do.
Mary, could you come in here, please?
Yes, Mr. Grant.
The set. I'm worried about the set.
How can I help?
I need it to look different, more election-like. Any ideas?
You mean more dressed up?
Exactly.
Rhoda.
Rhoda?
Yes, sir. Rhoda Morgenstern. You know, my neighbor. She works at Hemp Hills. She is their number one window dresser. A real eye for details.
I've met her before at one of your parties.
That's right. Last New Year's Eve.
Yes, and also her daughter, Little Bess.
No, sir. Not Bess.
I don't like little children. They bother me. I never know what to say to them.
Mr. Grant, you're thinking about Phyllis Lindstrom. You know, Phyllis, my landlady. a bit snobbish, controlling, involved with women's liberation movement.
How is Phyllis these days?
Oh, she's fine, Murray.
I don't get that women's liberation movement. My ex-wife Edie was never into that. I just don't understand it.
I know, Mr. Grant.
Mary, why not give Rhoda a call and ask her if she could come over for 3 hours to dress up our set? Tell her that I'll authorize payroll to cut her a check for $50.
Okay, Mr. Grant. I'll call her right now.
Window Design Department, this is Rhoda. Window Design Department, this is Rhoda.
Rhoda, hi there. This is Mary.
Hi, Mia. Is everything okay?
Oh, yeah. Everything is fine. I'm at work.
Oh, good. So how are things at WJM?
Just fine. Say, Rhoda, could you break away from Hemp Hills for about 3 hours to help us out here in the studio?
Does Lou finally want me to sit in for Ted and do the 6 o'clock news?
That's funny, Rhoda. But no, we need you to come and dress up our news set for our big election coverage. Our regular set designer had to have some emergency surgery last night.
Oh, I hope she's okay. Anyway, I could break away from here for a while and help you out.
Great. Lou will also pay you $50 for the 3 hours.
I'm on my way. I'm going right now.
Mr. Grant, Rhoda's on her way over right now.
That's great. When she gets here, have her stop into my office for a minute. Then take her over to the studio. She can get starting things already.
Okay, Mr. Grant.
Food. Woo. What about food?
Food?
Did I hear someone say something about food?
Oh, boy. Here we go. Just wait for it. 3, 2, 1.
Food? Can I help out? What's the occasion? Wedding? Funeral? Bar mitzvah?
Election night.
Hello? Oh, okay. Have her come up to the newsroom. Mary, that was the front desk downstairs. Phyllis is on her way up.
My Phyllis? Lindstrom?
Yeah, she said it was important that she talks to you.
Of all days. Okay, thanks.
Lou, as I was saying, how can I help with the food?
We need a nice spread for food for tonight's election coverage. It's going to be a late night, and we will have lots of people coming and going out of the studio. Politicians, journalist, you know.
And Ted?
I said journalist.
Lou, come on now. I've won 2 Teddy Awards for Best Newscaster of the Year, and Walter Cronkite himself was even here to present one of them to me. Come on, Lou. Please, Lou. Lou!
Okay, Ted, okay. You are a broadcast journalist.
Look, getting back to more important things. About the food. I need to think about planning the menu out. It needs to be well-balanced and nutritious.
Did I hear someone mention food and well-balanced?
Phyllis, there you are. What's wrong? Something back at the house?
Oh, nothing. I just wanted to stop and catch all the election action here in the newsroom.
Phyllis, how have you been?
I'm fine. Where's Lou?
Mr. Grant?
Yes, where's Lou?
He's quite busy. In his office, putting our election night coverage broadcast together.
Can I talk to him?
He is awfully busy, Phyllis.
Could you check?
Yes, of course. Mr. Grant?
Yes, Mary, what is it now?
Phyllis is here. She wants to talk to you.
Phyllis? Phyllis who?
You know, Phyllis Lindstrom, my landlady. She's the mother of little Bess. That little girl you spoke to at my New Year's Eve party? The little girl you didn't know what to talk to about.
Oh, that Phyllis. Okay, ask her to step in, but only for a minute, okay?
Yes, Mr. Grant. 1 minute. That's all. Phyllis, Mr. Grant can see you, but only for 1 minute. He's very busy.
Yes, Mary, I understand. Whatever you say.
Hi there, Phyllis.
Oh, it's nice to see you again, Lou.
Mary,
What did Phyllis want?
Well, at first I thought she had to talk to me, but it seems she needed to chat with Lou.
I wonder why.
Murr, when it comes to Phyllis, I have stopped trying to figure her out. I just go with the flow.
Mary, what's the theme?
The theme? Oh, yes, the theme is the mayoral election.
Okay, elections, voting, the American way, democracy in its finest hour. Okay, I got it.
I think I'm starting to get the picture. What do you think, Ted?
About?
About the election theme for the news set where you will be sitting for hours tonight.
Oh, the election in the studio where I'll be front and center all night.
Rhoda, as you were saying, before Ted decided to take us on some detour to, maybe South Dakota?
Murray, the answer is obvious. Our theme for this election coverage has got to be a combination of the flags of the United States, Minnesota, and the city of Minneapolis. And they should be draped in a way around the set where they are seen at all times, and yet not overpowering.
Is that even possible?
Mary, remember that cowboy window scene I did for Hemp Hills about a year ago?
You mean the one with the horses and cows and the women all dressed up in those fancy skirts and cowboy hats?
Okay, ladies, that's where I draw the line. I will not wear a cowboy hat on the set tonight for the election coverage.
What about one of those skirts?
Murray, please, I must always look dignified when I'm doing the news.
Yes, Ted, by all means, always dignified. Even though our technical crew has to constantly re-rack the teleprompter when you flub a line or two, or three.
Come on, Murray. Give the guy a break. Doesn't happen that often, does it, Lou?
I'm not sure how I got dragged into this discussion, but Murray is right, Ted.
He is?
Yeah, I'm always getting overtime bills from the engineering staff for the studio crew because of stuff like that.
I'm sorry, Lou. At least you don't subtract that from my weekly paycheck.
Not yet.
Come on, Lou. That's not funny.
Ted, look at me. Look at my face. Does it look like I'm laughing?
No, Lou. You are not laughing.
Mr. Grant, before I forget, I wanted you to hear these three musical themes we might use for tonight's election coverage opening. And let me know which one you like best.
Mary, can't you just do that? You are the associate producer, you know?
Lou, she knows that. She just wants your input.
Phyllis, where did you come from?
Well, Lou, I was still in your office reading over the possible public affairs program idea you might want me to host.
Phyllis, I actually didn't say host. I said help to produce.
Well, I know. But I have some good ideas that you might want to consider.
Phyllis, we can chat more about that one next day, someday next week. Meanwhile, I do want to hear these three possible opening musical themes for tonight's newscast.
Okay, Mr. Grant. That's why I have one of our portable tape recorders here, so I can let you hear them. Here we go. Here's number one. And now, number two. And here's number three. Okay, there you have it, all three themes. Well, what do you think?
Let me think for a moment.
Oh, that's funny, Mary. How did you arrange the final Jeopardy music?
Kathy in promotions recorded that for me.
I love it.
But then there's... I also like... I think I have it now.
Okay, Mr. Grant. What is your answer?
It has to be number two. Let's hear a brief clip of that again. Yep, That's it. That's definitely my choice.
Excellent. Mr. Grant, that was my favorite as well.
Oh, Lou, good choice. That music will go perfectly with all the healthy snack foods I've planned for tonight.
Sue Ann, if it were up to me, we would just have beer, pretzels, and peanuts.
Rhoda, are you somewhere behind that news desk?
I'm here, ma'am. Leo is also back here, pounding away on the backdrop.
Rhoda, the flags look really wonderful. This is going to be some special night for WJM News.
I still have to figure out how to arrange the side table and chairs.
Oh, you mean for any guests who might be on the set next to Ted?
Yeah, I never like it when the guests are sitting lower than the host.
Well, you know Ted. He always likes to be just a little taller than anyone else when he's doing the news.
Yeah, I know. And he can also be...
Oh, hi there, Rhoda. Mary told me you were out here in my... in the studio.
Ted, Rhoda was just saying how nice everything is coming along with the set for tonight's election coverage.
It does look quite festive, and the color scheme is quite breathtaking.
It is. I mean, yes, Ted. It really is.
I'm just repeating what Georgette told me a few minutes ago.
Oh, is she here? I didn't see her come in.
She stopped by the studio on the way to my dressing room and really liked what she saw.
Ted, you be sure to tell her she has great taste.
Yes, of course. I will tell her after the meeting with Lou. Mary, are you going to be there?
Of course, Ted. I'll be right in.
Okay, Mary. Rhonda, nice work.
Thanks, Ted. See you later.
That was close. I hope he didn't hear us.
Oh, I think he did, but don't worry.
Why is that?
Because he'll forget about all of this the moment that red light over there on the TV camera goes on. And he's live, on the air.
That's true. I almost forgot.
I better get back to work.
And I better get back to the newsroom for Lou's meeting. We're only 45 minutes away from going live with our newscast.
See you later, Mary.
I better get back to the newsroom before I fall asleep on my feet.
Murray, is all the regular news copy ready to go and loaded into the teleprompter?
Ready to go, Lou.
Now, Ted, as you know, we will be bringing you news bulletins into the studio as soon as the polls close, just after 7 o'clock.
Okay, Lou, just like always.
Except... please remember not to ask when you're on the air. Am I supposed to read this now? Okay, Ted?
Yes, Lou. I will not do that again.
Okay, everybody. Let's have a great evening.
Mary, I'm going back to video editing to make sure the video clips are ready to go.
Okay, Mary.
Oh, Mary, I'm going to run over to my office and then go into the studio to check on all of our nutritious food and make sure Gordy, the weatherman, got the message from his wife.
Okay, Sue Ann.
Mary, Ted and I are going into the studio so he can get ready and so I can check out the food.
Okay, Mr. Grant. Have a great show, Ted.
Thanks, Mary. Boy, you do look tired.
Thanks for that, Ted. I am tired. I think I'm going to just put my head down on my typewriter just for a few minutes.
Daddy, where's Mommy?
Richie, I think she's in the living room watching the evening news.
Let's go check.
Good idea, son. Laura,
Mommy,
wake up!
Oh, what? Oh, Rob and Richie, there you are.
Sweetheart, who did you think we were?
Yeah, Mommy, who?
I'm not sure. At first, I thought I was producing a TV newscast in Minneapolis. And, well, this might sound crazy, but...
But what, Laura?
And then I was Emily Hartley in Chicago, married to some man named Dr. Bob Hartley, who was a psychologist. A very strange dream. Very strange indeed.
This
this has been our version of the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Even though... even though it almost became the Bob Newhart Show, but we made sure that did not happen, even though it was also an MTM production. Anyway, our stars today in the Mary Tyler Moore Show were Janelle Powers as Mary Richards, Larry Rowe as Lou Grant, Todd Eaves as Ted Baxter, Jim McClure as Murray Slaughter, Renee Bouchel as Sue Ann Nivens, Naomi Wiseman-Zobler as Rhoda Morgenstern, Kathy Zolke as Georgette Franklin, and Vicki Dumais as Phyllis Lindstrom. And in the Dick Van Dyke Show, Mike Bovito as Rob Petrie, Jill Jensen as Laura Petrie, Cameron Spencer as Richie, John Alexi as Buddy, Julie Burton as Sally, and Gordon Wisneski as Mel. And just in case you were wondering, I'm Susan Lean, your announcer for today's WGTD Radio Theater. And now, it's the professor.
Morty. Morty. Morty!
What?
Your phone.
Oh. Hello?
Daddy?
Yeah?
Daddy, it's me, Hadassah.
Yeah?
Daddy, is everything all right?
Yeah, everything's fine. Anything else?
Is Mom there?
Yeah.
Where are you?
The clubhouse.
Has Mom been doing okay since she got out of rehab?
Yeah.
Because she doesn't always tell me everything.
That's odd. She usually tells everyone everything.
Yeah, well, could I talk to her?
Sure. You need any money?
No, Daddy, I'm fine, thanks.
Here's your mother. Estelle, it's Hadassah.
Where?
On the phone, here.
Oh. Hello?
Ma?
Yeah.
How are you?
Fine.
Well, I thought I'd call and see how you are.
Oh, that's nice. A call instead of a visit. Easier.
Ma, I was just down there over spring break with Brianna.
I know. I was a mother, too. Always arranging things around your children. Always giving up things. Always going without. I know. I was a mother. Your mother.
Yeah, Ma. So, I take it you're doing fine being home and all.
Listen, honey. I'm holding up the Mahjong game here. Talk to you later when you have more time to talk.
Come on, Estelle, it's your turn.
I know. What else could I do? Hadassah called. I'm a mother. 6 p.m.
3 crack. I just love this here game. I never heard of it before. In Wisconsin, we only played games like Canasta and Sheep's Head. Right, Tony?
What?
We used to play the Canasta and Sheep's Head back in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah, all the time. Not much else to do when you get snowed in. Used to jump in the truck and go over to the neighbors and start up a game.
It's the professor. It's about time you got here, Leland. Happy hour is almost over.
See, Professor, I was just telling him how there's not much to do when it snows in Wisconsin, but play canasta and sheep's head.
That's right, Tony. Snow could get pretty bad up there. Of course, I could watch up on my documentaries about the British Isles during the High Middle Ages and the ramifications on the presidential elections in the Fourth and Fifth Republics in France.
Yeah. Well, that just goes to show you, not much to do when it snows.
What are we watching, gentlemen?
The Yankees.
Say, Professor, would you like a drink?
Oh, sure. My usual old-fashioned, por favor.
Coming right up.
Another highball for me.
How about another round for everyone?
Now you're talking.
Irving, just make sure you drink water. That alcohol takes the water right out of you, and in this heat, you need to stay hydrated.
You know, if she had a prostate, She wouldn't be telling me to drink so much water.
What are they laughing about? No.
Oh, who knows? You know, guys, they probably saw a female body part and they're all giggling like little boys. Three dot.
Mahjong.
Estelle, would you like to take my place? I need to stretch my legs. I feel like I've been sitting here all day. Oi, but that's nothing. When my second husband, Stan Finkelstein, may he rest in peace, was in the import business, I used to sit at a desk all day long doing the books, sending the bills, getting people to pay the bills, and then paying our bills. And I didn't have any computers, let me tell you. All I had were index cards and spreadsheets. You know, the kind of spreadsheets that covered half your desk? Now, that was work. None of these reports that you just push a button and out comes a bill. Oh, no. I had to handwrite the bills or use a typewriter.
Oh, I know what you mean, Chutzi. I used to do the same thing at the farm. That's the way it was done on the farm. The man takes care of the animals and the crops, and the woman takes care of the books. You're right. No computers.
I think you asked me a question. No, I'm too tired to play. I'll just sit here and watch.
Well, that's probably for the best, Estelle. Between that coma you were in and then rehab for 2 months, you just need to rest. It's got to make you feel better for being at home. I know I always preferred to convalesce at home rather than in some hospital or rehab center. I mean, the people at those places are nice and all, but it's not just home. It's just not home. It's just not the same thing as eating on your own plates and sitting in your own chair.
Yeah, it's better being at home. And I do feel better, but I do need my rest, especially after that shock when I came out of that coma, seeing a perfect stranger. Not my husband, not my daughter, a stranger. It was a shock. Let me tell you, I was in a coma for a month, and the first thing I see is a stranger.
You know, Morty, you'll never live that down that day you weren't at the hospital when she woke up.
Put it on the list. After all these years of marriage, I think we're up to a few thousand pages I get reminded of.
Yeah, ain't it the truth? A gal just won't forget certain things.
Yeah, that's the truth, all right. I get reminded by Mona about things I forgot when we weren't even engaged yet.
How about you married her anyway?
True, I get reminded about that, too. I married you in spite of your faults.
Yeah. Five dot, another body part.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Bernice. Sell anything today?
Just my soul. It's sort of rough this month. Of course, no one wants to move to Florida in the summer.
Well, we started looking here last summer. We figured we'd get a good deal during the summer.
That's true. Usually prices are lower in the summer, but so is interest. What do you do?
Have a drink. You want to go with us to the Early Bird? We were just sitting here until the restaurants open up. You want to sit in for me until we go?
Sure, and I'll take a drink.
What would you like, Berenice?
Gin and tonic, twist of lime.
Coming right up.
Can't go out to eat, though. Have a customer coming in about 6.
So, hey there. Where are we going for the Early Bird?
East. Oh, I don't know. It always seems the same. Chicken or grouper?
Oh, I know. They really don't offer that much choice anymore. I remember when they would offer crab legs and beef tips and fried chicken and grouper, maybe turkey and ham.
Oh, ham schmam. That won't do me any good. But then again, I have relatives in California who serve kosher ham for Thanksgiving.
I guess they're talking about us again.
I'm getting hungry there. What sounds good for the Early Bird?
I heard that Captain Bob's is offering all-you-can-eat shrimp until 5. Might be worth trying out.
Sounds like a plan to me. Say, Estelle, how about shrimp for the Early Bird?
Sounds as good as anything.
Well, we can go as soon as Scott gets here.
Hi, honey. Sorry I'm late. I was busy at the gym. Do I have time for a drink before we go?
Well, speak of the devil. No, sorry, hon. We were just finishing up here to go. Captain Bob, sound good to you?
Sure, I'm starved.
Well, I'm driving with Scott and Viv. His car will be the coolest. It's like a schwitz out here with all the humidity, and I just want to be cool.
I'll go with you guys. Morty doesn't like using the air conditioning. Bad gas mileage.
That was 30 years ago when we first got a car with air conditioning.